Hey friends, this is Scott. I want you to know how much I appreciate you as listeners, and I hope you appreciate my sponsors because they make this show possible. Raygun provides full-stack error, crash, and performance monitoring for tech teams. Whether you're a software engineer looking to diagnose and resolve issues with greater speed and accuracy, or a product manager drowning in bug reports, or maybe you're just concerned you're losing customers to poor quality online experiences, Raygun can provide you with the answers. Get full-stack error and performance monitoring in one place. The next time you're struggling to replicate errors and performance issues in your code base, think Raygun. Head over to raygun.com, that's R-A-Y-G-U-N.com, and get up and running within minutes and dramatically improve your online experiences of your users. Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes. Today I'm talking with Kristen Leek. She's a UX researcher at Empowered and a YouTuber. How are you?
Hey, I'm great, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on the show. I found you while I was, frankly, Googling around and learning about boot camps because I'm interested in how people find their way into tech. And it looks like you already had a well-established YouTube channel. So were you a techie before you went to a boot camp?
Not at all. Well, I would say a little bit from school. I have a master's in journalism from San Jose State. So being in Silicon Valley, the journalism program incorporated some app development. We did some videography. So I dabbled in that. But for the most part, no, I did not have a solid foundation.
It does kind of raise the question, though, what is a techie? Like, is it someone who can find a file on the disk? Because like constantly I'm always having a non-technical family member say, I've lost this file. And it's like, oh, well, they put it in documents instead of download or it's on the desktop. And then they're amazed if I find the file. And they're like, oh, you're a techie. You found that file. I'm like, well, what is the base? Like how technical is technical?
Yeah, that's true. It seems like a buzzword today for anyone who knows anything that is electronic based. I don't know.
Like, is configuring your own router, like going to Best Buy, buying a router, setting it up, is that techie or is that just following instructions well?
And I think there's also like a point where there's a certain amount of nerdiness within the techie, you know? Mm-hmm. There's like the hip techie people and then more people who nerd out more. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and then there's like you were saying that you've done like media creation. Like there's the Adobe Creative Cloud level of techie, right?
Yeah. You know,
asset management and rendering. And then there's the like coding techie.
Definitely.
So you had a master's degree already. That's an advanced degree. That's a graduate degree. That's more than a lot of people. Were you not interested in being a journalist? Why go to a boot camp and not do a master's in computer science?
I didn't know I wanted to work in tech, to be honest. I kind of did what I don't recommend most people doing, and which is going back to school when you're still trying to figure out what you want to do, because that does not solve the answer at all. But that's pretty much what I did. After changing my career path from physical therapy, I decided to just go for journalism because it seemed to just be something that you can apply to any industry. Which I guess is partially true from my experience, but that's pretty much the reason why I got the master's and I don't really need it. I think if you go to coding boot camp, especially nowadays, since it's more common, that's absolutely fine.
Really? Because that brings up an interesting question about how to position these things. Because, you know, currently as of the time of this recording, the US is at about 4% unemployment and people would like to say, yeah, anyone with any tech ability at all can just, you know, throw a rock and get a job as a techie. Do you think that having boot camp on your resume is more important than having a master's degree on your resume?
I think it depends on the type of job position that you want to have. And I often tell people that getting a job after boot camp is a lot different than actually the studying and going through coding boot camp. They're both like two huge different journeys.
Well, let's break down the why a boot camp and the going through the process, and then we'll follow up with how we go and get a job after boot camp. So you went to a boot camp. How did you pick that boot camp And how did you know that they were going to succeed in teaching you what you wanted to learn?
So for picking the boot camp, it was overwhelming. Like many people, I did a Google search. I looked at reviews, which don't help you at all because you always hear the good and the bad. And typically it's more bad than good. And I ended up narrowing down what I wanted to do. So I thought I wanted to do more front-end development. Mm-hmm. So I focused on the boot camps that do that. And today there's a bazillion types of boot camps. There's big data, there's DevOps now, there's design boot camps. So that's the number one thing you need to do first is decide what you want to do after boot camp. And we're choosing, I chose Tech Talent South. They are local. I'm trying to go back. So I was trying to decide between Tech Talent South, another local boot camp, and an online boot camp because it just seemed convenient to still do my full-time job mm-hmm. and go to school. But I nixed that idea because knowing myself and how I learn, I need to be in a classroom setting. Mm-hmm. And go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, it seems like if you are a person who's trying to get into tech and someone says do an online boot camp, the assumption is you're already what they call a digital native, right? You're already super comfortable online. But to the point about before, you could get stuck and then you're all alone. You're online and you are stuck on an exercise. And now you have to go. And the only way you can get help is email somebody.
Yeah, definitely. And they have mentors. I know some do Skype with your mentor once a week or something. But having my teacher in person and then being able to work with my classmates after class, like we would get together and work on our projects over dinner, or we just call or text each other when we got stuck on homework. Having that community around me mm-hmm. made it much more bearable because it is stressful. It's not easy at all to go through boot camp. So it just made it easier to learn and to commiserate and everything.
Mm-hmm. Now, when people go to college, we know that like right now in the United States, like top tier private universities are super expensive. Even a public university is going to cost you many, many tens of thousands of dollars. But a boot camp isn't cheap either. Like people could spend 8 to 12 weeks and they could spend $10,000 for this unaccredited, unknown, unregulated thing.
Yeah, that's the scary thing about it. And that's why you have to do your research. Mm-hmm. I recommend talking to the teachers and just going in and just seeing where the school takes place and just meeting everyone who works there. And also talking to former students and seeing where they are today, because there are some scammy boot camps. I can't say as far as today since, you know, I've been out for 2 years now, mm-hmm. but you definitely need to, you know, dig in and make sure it's, you know, it's actually a company that wants to help you, you know, and that's why I loved my community so much.
They say that compared to self-study, that a boot camp, you know, gives you that motivation. Like you said, you have a community of people around you, but you're effectively investing this $10,000 or some huge amount of money. And I assume this isn't a 40-hour a week thing. You don't just show up at 9 and leave at 5. You're basically, you know, not sleeping for 10 weeks as you immerse yourself in the boot camp.
Yeah. And you need to try not to not sleep, because I quickly learned that getting 3-4 hours of sleep a night, it definitely hurts you the next day when you're trying to follow the teacher, because they go so freaking fast. Mm. And it doesn't matter how many cups of coffee you drink, if you don't have the rest, it's going to be hard to follow and retain everything.
That's interesting, because people are saying that boot camps could be a way to get more women and more people of color into kind of the pipeline and encourage people that maybe are only a high school educated person or older people or former teachers. Like it's a way to get what they call non-traditional folks into this. But now you're saying it goes really fast. Doesn't that mean that people are going to get left behind if they can't keep up?
It depends on the program. and how advanced it is. But you are completely right. It does help people. One of my friends, my close friends from boot camp, only has a high school diploma, and now he has an awesome job doing DevOps.
Oh, wow. Okay. But was he set up for success in that he knew something already? Like, I'm realizing that my 10 and 12-year-old boys, my sons, are getting a 10-year head start because they have iPads and they have, you know, laptops. While someone who maybe comes in from a, you know, like a farming environment or a rural environment, they may not actually have got their first computer until they're 20. Is that 10 years of being around computers giving my kids a leg up against someone else?
That's a good point. I think that could definitely have something to do with that.
Were you always around computers growing up?
Yes. Yes. I remember being in middle school and being one of the few people who actually used AOL.
See, so you, that's interesting. So you were not only kind of, you're a digital native, as they like to say, right? You were online before everybody else.
Yeah.
Do you think that made you go into a boot camp saying, oh, well, this is just something I need to learn. Like, it's knowable, as opposed to that sense that you get, you know, I'm sure you have this when you're hanging out with non-technical family members at Christmas, where it's like, oh, yeah, Kristen's a techie, you know. That's not for me. I don't know anything about those things.
To me, I thought of it as noble, but that's because in grad school, I had a project management class. And our teacher pretty much just had us teach ourselves how to code, how to use WordPress, then go in on the back end and to make some changes. So I thought, well, I had to watch all these Linda videos. I can just go to codeacademy.com and to make sure that I even like this stuff. And then when I realized I enrolled in coding bootcamp. It's like, oh, well, I like it and I can learn it myself. So why not?
So it wasn't threatening, I guess, is what I'm saying.
No, it wasn't threatening.
Yeah.
I mean, not to say I wasn't nervous about the boot camp.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to get a sense or to understand, like, what separates people that want to, like, and I've talked about this before on the show, who wants to take apart the toaster when it's broken versus who's like, yeah, forget it. I'm just going to buy a new toaster. I don't know why it doesn't work.
That is a good question. There was only one person who dropped out of my my cohort when I went through. So it's definitely not for everybody. I think it's, yeah, depending on people's expectations. I know some people just are doing it for the money and think they can just learn it all in the boot camp. But you're right, you need to have some type of background or at least study on your own before enrolling to ensure that, you know, you have success in this.
So you were on AOL before, you had a computer before, so you had, like, it was in your life, you were familiar with computers. But how far down the stack did you go? I have a young woman on my team, and I was trying to teach her something low level, because when I grew up in the computer world, I learned, like, assembler. And we would say I went from the metal up, like from the processor up. But she said when she learned, she went from, like, the screen or the glass of the monitor back. They learned in, like, F12 tools in Chrome, and JavaScript is the new metal. When you're in a boot camp, are they talking about computer science techniques like virtual memory and memory allocation and all that kind of stuff? Or are they really talking about web development and is Chrome the computer?
During my program, we focused on web development. We did a lot of web apps. Mm-hmm. So we did a little bit of the foundation, HTML, CSS, and then foundation of JavaScript. And then we started focusing more on MVC and making things with Ruby on Rails.
Mm-hmm. What do you feel about that? It's almost like when you learn to drive a car, do you learn an automatic or do you learn a stick shift?
Automatic for sure.
So that's really cool though, because I think that's interesting. And that's, I think, teaching people who are maybe over 40 that, you know, you don't need to know a stick shift to be an effective driver, do you? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's cool that you could if you were interested in that, but it's not required. We're just making websites here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that there's a reason to go any deeper, or are people being elitist when they say, well, you really need to learn how to drive a stick shift if you're going to be an effective driver?
That's interesting. I I honestly can't say, but I always hear people, especially newbies, say that they want to learn how to build things from scratch. Mm. And I just think, I personally don't think it's necessary. I mean, as someone who did freelance web design and my current company, mm-hmm. never has anyone done things from scratch because it's just not efficient, you know? Right. You see why they think that, because of trying to learn everything. But what developer really knows everything, like starting mm-hmm. off, you know, in the first couple years of learning?
That's a good point.
Setting themselves up for disappointment.
Yeah. And also, I think as someone who myself who wants to bring more people into tech, if I'm trying to go and shove 20 or 30 years of computer science into someone's head in a month, that's just going to push them away from tech entirely.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Yeah. So your focus is on getting stuff done. And if what do you do then if you're at a boot camp and you hit some low level thing, like, you know, I mean, I'm just brainstorming here, you know, an SSL certificate expires, or there's a cookie that's somehow being truncated by something. You know, these are like, now you're into F12 tools and you're learning what's going on at the TCP and the HTTP level. Is that just like, well, ask somebody and get help? Or do you then dive into how, you know, let's talk about how the internet itself works?
Definitely in boot camp, you ask someone. And which is really hard to do because we all don't want to admit that we can't, solve something ourselves. And so we end up not being able to move forward. Because like I said, the program goes by so quickly, you don't want to be stuck for 2 days on something.
So the idea that you're trying to figure out what the right level to learn is and what's too low, what's too high. And then if you do ask, though, you're going to feel sad that, oh gosh, have I let on that I don't belong here?
Yeah. And everyone feels that way when you're in boot camp. You think you're the dumbest person in class, but but everyone's just as lost.
Interesting. So it was not lonely. There was a good community because we're all clueless together.
Oh my gosh. Yes. But in the beginning, no one knows that.
So you're sitting there on day one, just looking around going, oh, what have I done?
That was me. And we had a, I think his title was community organizer, mm-hmm. who would do check-ins with us every few weeks. And so we would vent to him and let us know how we're doing. And that's how I found out that I wasn't the dumbest person in class.
Not that we're keeping score, to be clear. Like, with all due respect to the other people of varying levels of dumbness.
Yeah. I remember we had a meeting and he said, Kristen, the person I just met with 30 minutes ago literally said the same thing and feels the same way you do right now. And so just knowing that I wasn't alone, and that kind of also puts your guard down as well. And I think that helps with the community feeling.
It is really hard, though, to express that you don't know something. And then when you're told that, well, you should be blogging and you should maybe consider speaking at conferences, you should get your name out there. That's asking a lot of anyone to go and talk about doing something, because at any moment, some random internet person could go and say, you have no idea what you're talking about. And look, here's a link to your blog where I know for a fact you have no idea what you're talking about. Look right there. See what you wrote? That was dumb.
I actually get scared about that about my YouTube channel sometimes.
Really?
Yeah, because, I mean, you hear so many different opinions about things online and everyone has their own opinion. So it's kind of hard. It's kind of stressful.
Literally before I got on the call with you here, I went and wrote a blog post that's actually a follow-up to another blog post. I wrote this blog post all about caching and caching in web applications. And like the first comment was like, this is a bad idea. You know, I was like, oh no. I'm looking at this comment right now. It's like, you may get away with it if, you know, but in, you know, basically he's like, this works, but it's working because you're lucky. And it's a bad practice and you basically suck, you know. And he was super nice about it, but I was just like, oh, well, do I delete the blog post now? Or do I just, what do I do? Like, where do I emotionally put that information that this sucks? So it kind of messed me up for a day. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up doing the research and I wrote a follow-up blog post, linked the first one to the follow-up and then said, yeah, this is wrong and here's why. And I kind of like, it seems obvious in hindsight, but this is good. And thank you so much for the comment. You know, it wasn't a troll. It was like a genuinely nice person trying to help out. But that takes a lot of emotional fortitude to be able to go through like the whole process there.
Oh, definitely. And as I've shared my coding journey and just getting into tech journey on YouTube, that's definitely happened to me a number of times. And I've learned that, I mean, yeah, sometimes I am wrong, but also there are many times when you can have the same result by doing something different.
Mm-hmm. Do you find YouTube to be a friendly or a not friendly environment? Like, are you go and talk about going through a boot camp and then do the trolls show up, or are people pretty positive?
People have been pretty positive. I've gotten a few marriage proposals.
I have not. I wonder why you have received marriage proposals and I have not. Do you find that being a woman in tech is just half marriage proposals and half people telling you that you're dumb?
No. I think there's a lot of people rooting for me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people who view me as, you know, an example that, look, she did it, so I can do it too.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I kept going with my YouTube channel.
That's good. It's important for all of us to do that. I mean, even though I'm, you know, 18, 20 years ahead of you in my career, I hope when I write a blog post where I say, yeah, I was totally wrong, that was a mistake, and I'm cool about it and pleasant about it, makes it clear that it's about the journey, and it's not about some theoretical end where like, yes, and now I know everything. Thank you. I've made it.
Yeah, that would not be very exciting. And you know, you kind of just reminded me of this graph I saw about, you know, when you first start learning code and how you feel like you don't know anything, and then there's a phase where you feel like a god and you know everything, and then something else happens and it's just back and forth. And it just keeps going. Like even after 20 years, that graph says, like, you still have that, those moments where you don't feel like you know everything.
I love that you said that, because you literally nailed like my last three blog posts. Like the first one, I'm like, I'm learning all about caching and how to do things correctly. And like, look at this code. It's the most elegant 12 lines ever. And then, then of course the, you're doing it entirely wrong comment happened. And then I was like, okay. And I learned, I'm like, oh my God, what was I thinking? That was the worst 12 lines. And then 12 became three lines, you know? And now I'm thinking I might be able to get it down to two, you know?
Yeah. And that's something we don't realize when you come into this industry, that you're constantly learning and you still have your bad days.
Isn't it funny how they tell you that, but you still don't really internalize it? Like you don't really get like, oh yeah, you're always learning. No, you're really like, really seriously, you're always learning. Like what's it going to take for you to understand that you will be learning? Like your degree, it means nothing. Like I went to school in the late 90s. It means nothing. It's all changed. The whole internet's different. Hey friends, this is Scott. I want you to know how much I appreciate you as listeners, and I hope you appreciate my sponsors because they make this show possible. Raygun provides full stack error, crash, and performance monitoring for tech teams. Whether you're a software engineer looking to diagnose and resolve issues with greater speed and accuracy, or a product manager drowning in bug reports, or maybe you're just concerned you're losing customers to poor quality online experiences, Raygun can provide you with the answers. Get full stack error and performance monitoring in one place. The next time you're struggling to replicate errors and performance issues in your code base, think Raygun. Head over to raygun.com, that's R-A-Y-G-U-N.com, and get up and running within minutes and dramatically improve your online experiences of your users.
That kind of reminds me of imposter syndrome as well, because I had many people warn me that once I start working full time, I'm going to get imposter syndrome after boot camp. And it wasn't until I was venting to a more senior friend when he pointed out that was imposter syndrome. I was like, this is it? This feeling depressed and being afraid my boss is going to fire me.
Yep. Well, and that brings up these issues of privilege that I've talked about before on the show, which is who has the ability to have imposter syndrome publicly and who just sneaks home and notices no one, like maybe no one will notice that I'm an imposter. And definitely as someone who's older and been in tech, I can go in a meeting and I can say, what does that acronym mean? And people probably won't flip the bozo bit on me and go, oh man, Hanselman, he has no idea what he's talking about. But if you've only been at the company 2 weeks and you're like, what does this mean? Maybe people will be like, wow, Kristen should know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've definitely felt that. Mm-hmm.
So how instrumental was having done this code camp to getting your job? Like, is there any stigma attached to having boot camp on your resume?
I did not experience that, or at least I didn't sense any stigmatism for that. Coding boot camp definitely is the reason why I got my amazing job. I'm trying to go back to think about stigmas, but no, I can't think of any.
Let me ask you this. Did your tech resume, the resume you handed around, say master's degree on it? And do you think that people cared? Like, oh, wow, master's degree. Because I don't have a master's degree. So I'm always like, ooh, graduate school, when I see a resume that has graduate school on it.
No, actually, I got a bigger response about doing freelance web design after boot camp. Not many people acknowledge my master's degree.
Interesting. Is it at the bottom of the resume or is it on page 2?
I think it's at the bottom. I've rearranged it recently. Right now it's at the bottom. So, I mean, that could be it. Hmm. But my boot camp's at the bottom as well.
Yeah. Are boot camps given a grade? Do you have any idea who came out at the top of the class or who really did well? Or is it about the portfolio that you're building while you're doing the boot camp?
It's definitely portfolio driven. We didn't grade anything, honestly. We would come back to class with our assignment and go over them and, you know, discuss any problems everyone had with it. But no, we didn't grade, and it wasn't certificate either.
Mm-hmm. You have a video that I'll link to in the show notes, and that's again how I found you, which is, you know, how to get a job after a boot camp and how it went. And you basically call out 3 things that you think people need to focus on when they are coming out of a boot camp to get a job.
Oh yeah, definitely. So especially in my experience, and about everyone in my cohort was about 12 people. Mm-hmm. We landed jobs through networking. Oh my gosh. And speaking of which, one of my friends has now accepted her second job after boot camp at Microsoft, and she made that connection in a meetup group.
Really? And interesting. All right. Well, I will have to say hi.
Yeah. So I always talk highly of meetup groups, and just not just being upfront and saying, oh, I just got a boot camp, I'm looking for a job, are you hiring? But just getting to know that person and what they do, and yeah, just getting to know them and maybe viewing them as more of a mentor in the future. Not straight up saying we'd be my mentor, but just staying connected, adding them on LinkedIn and following up a week or two later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's that quote that luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity?
It seems
meetups are really an opportunity for you to make opportunity. Like you show up, and if you go to two or three, if you can go to a couple meetups a week and be visible, people will start saying, oh, there's a new person in the community.
I like that you said be visible, because going to a meetup, not talking to someone and going home, that's not going to benefit you at all. You need to at least raise your hand, ask a question or two, or if you don't like the idea of so many people seeing or hearing you speak, go up to the speaker afterwards and introduce yourself and just say you liked their presentation. You know, that's a great start.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like, did they teach you to go to meetups? Like, does the boot camp say, okay, good job, see ya, and then they kick you out the door? Or do they say, all right, now it's time to learn about how to network and how to be confident and how to shake hands and look people in the eye?
They did recommend meetups a lot, but no one really explained networking and how to do it properly. And that is something I wish they would touch on more, is the confidence, because that's probably the hardest thing after boot camp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, being a techie, being a coder is really more about communication than anyone ever realized. Like, you can be by yourself, you can get the job in via email, you can do the job and then send them the code via email. But being an effective team member, you know, being a, is about networking. It's about being good in your group. It's about whiteboarding. It's about explaining yourself, about advocating for yourself. It's hard.
Definitely.
So let me ask you this as we get towards the end here, like, where do you see techie ending and coder or programmer starting? And on that gradient as that we were talking about, when do you say, all right, you know, I can actually write an app. I'm a coder now. Like, I'm a member of the community.
So you're asking when someone can say whether or not they're a coder versus being a techie?
Yeah. Or is that even an appropriate label?
I don't know. Okay. First, I was thinking you could call yourself a coder when you're doing it professionally, but I know so many great developers who do it in their free time for fun.
Mm, that are not doing it in their jobs, like for money.
Correct. Correct. They aren't doing it in their jobs.
It's a good question because no one said that this is a requirement that you have to get paid if you did your church's website or you did your kids' Little League.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And then I also wonder about skill level too, because when I hear techie, I'm not really like that could be beginner. That could, I don't know. That could be anything.
Well, this gets down to like, what do we tell our family members at Thanksgiving? Right? You know, I just say like computer person seems to be like the generic, I'm not going to fix your computer, but yes, I know how to if I needed to.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, I'm going to end up fixing your computer anyway.
The funny thing is, even though I know some front end and WordPress and now UX, people ask me questions about servers and other things that go way over my head. I'm like, okay, just because I can design a website doesn't mean I know what to do when the Wi-Fi isn't working.
Yeah. Well, but fortunately, you do know how to learn now and you know how to learn tech. So if you chose to be a server person, you'd know what to do.
That is true.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks so much for chatting with me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was fun.
Make sure that you check out the show notes. I'm going to have links to Kristen's YouTube channel and the Coding Bootcamp video that got me in touch with her. This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.